as you know, Seventh-day Adventists believe in Christian education. Next Sabbath, all of the churches in Nebraska are going to be spending their church service on the subject that we introduced today. It just so happens that our fall week of prayer for the college concludes next Sabbath, so we wanted to bring this to you this morning and pray and plan as to how God would lead us concerning our support of our conference Christian education next Sabbath. So it was calculated and deliberate that we took this time, and we appreciate your attention to it, and also the Thursday evening forum, and special planning for the offering and the pledging next Sabbath. On the conference committee, we had a discussion concerning whether to put Platte Valley and College View Academy together, because we have equal interests here. And it was thought best to try and support one at a time and plan later the conference for some special help here in Lincoln. So let's try and look at this objectively and as a sister institution. Perhaps I can remind the boys and girls of the worst spanking I ever got. It was after my brother and I had been fighting at the summer vacation time and ruining the vacation for my parents. And the truth is, I think we kind of enjoyed fighting. We still get together and compare scars. And probably we didn't realize what it was doing to us. And of course, we didn't enjoy it when someone got hurt. But after my father had tried everything he could, and nothing had worked, and we were still scrapping, I remember the moment when he called us into the cabin, and he was sitting on the edge of the bed trying to think of something else to do to deal with our behavior. And then he had run out of ideas. And for one of the few times in my life, I saw my big, strong father begin to weep. And as the tears came down his face, even though he'd never touched me that time, that was the worst licking I ever got. I could take the razor strap, but I couldn't take that. When I realized that I was breaking the heart of my father who loved me and who had been trying his best to help me. Well, that was one of the times when I discovered what repentance is all about. There was another time, which I think I shared with some of the boys and girls. It was in school. I was in the third grade. It was after recess. And the boys were in the washroom cleaning up. We were making a lot of noise. We forgot that the room right next to the washroom was still having school. Suddenly, Miss D came into the boys' washroom, and she said, "What's the matter with you, anyway? You sound like a bunch of wild Indians." I didn't think she had any business in the washroom, and so I smarted off to her. I said, "That's right, that's what we are." And she thought that was a little smart for my age, so she told my teacher. My teacher came to me and said, "I want you to go tell Miss D that you're sorry." But I wasn't sorry, so I didn't go. I wonder if there's anyone here who has ever been told in your lifetime to tell someone else you were sorry. I used to think about that when I would tell my own children that. That doesn't make you sorry. All it does is make you sorry that you were told that you were supposed to be sorry. Well, the next day when I got to school, my teacher asked me if I had gone and told Miss D that I was sorry. And I was in trouble now, so I resorted to a maneuver that I shouldn't have. I lied. I said, yes, I did. But she had the goods on me. She had already checked with Miss D. She said, I checked with Miss D, and she said, you haven't. Well, I don't know why she had to ask me if she already knew the answer. So I came up with a rather lame excuse. Yes, I did, but she must not have heard. And my teacher, for some reason, dropped the whole matter and didn't make any more out of it. And I lived with that for a couple of years. We moved away. I was in another town with my preacher family. That particular year, I was reading my Bible through, 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sabbath, the junior Bible year. And every time I read my Bible, I'd think about the lie that I told to my teacher. So one day I had to sit down and write a letter asking her to forgive me. I still wasn't sorry about Miss D. So I didn't write her any letters. Several years went by. And one day I was in the 7th grade. It was in the town of Saginaw, Michigan. My father was holding public meetings there. It was a little school in the back of the church, 13 students, all 8 grades. The teacher was teaching for her first year. She was only around 18 years of age. She tried her best. But she, even though she loved us and was a good teacher when it came to the 3 R's, she did not know how to keep law and order in the schoolroom with 13 students. And so things got carried away in terms of classroom control. The school board met in the middle of the year and decided that perhaps she should move on and we should get a different teacher. We heard about it. The students began to talk about the teacher because students like to know the rules. And if students don't know the rules, whether it's in the school or in the family, they'll get restless. They like to know what's expected and that it is. One day after school, there were some students down below the schoolroom window talking about the teacher, how they didn't like her. And I came out of school on my way home, stopped with the group, and when the other students are talking about how they don't like the teacher, guess what you do? Have you ever heard of peer pressure? That's real pressure, isn't it? So I joined them, said I didn't like her either. Just then I looked up in the open window, the upper floor looking down on the schoolroom, and there was our teacher standing behind the piano, looking down at the floor. She didn't think we saw her, but I saw her. The tears were dropping from her face to the floor. I'll never forget the look of disappointment and discouragement on her face. I couldn't take that. I went home, couldn't sleep that night. And the next morning I took a note to my teacher asking her to forgive me for what I had said. I had discovered what genuine repentance is all about. The Bible talks about it. Godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. 2 Corinthians 7:10. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. We've often talked about the two kinds of sorrow, but you can experience it and learn what it means more than just talking about it, and most of us probably have. Worldly sorrow is the kind where we're sorry we got caught. We're sorry we're in trouble. We're sorry for the trouble and the pain. We're sorry we broke a rule. We're sorry we broke a law. Godly sorrow is sorrow that we broke a heart, someone's heart. That's what changes us. That's what brought me the worst licking I ever got. When I realized that I had broken my father's heart. Our teacher in the seventh grade used to like to read us stories and poems after lunch. She was good to us. She had our interest at heart. Among the poems that she liked to read was one that I memorized because I liked it too. And I've never forgotten it. Still sits the schoolhouse by the road, a ragged beggar sunning. Around it still the sumac grow and blackberry vines are running. Within the master's desk is seen, deep scarred by raps official, the warping floor, the battered seats, the jackknife's carved initial, the charcoal frescoes on the wall, the door's worn sill betraying the feet that creeping slow to school went storming out the plain. Long years ago, the winter sun shone over it at setting. It touched the golden window panes and cold eaves' icy fretting. It touched the tangled golden curls and brown eyes full of grieving of one who still her steps delayed when all the school was leaving. For near her stood the little boy, her childish favor singled, his cap pulled low upon a face where pride and shame were mingled. Kicking with restless feet the snow to right and left he lingered, while restlessly her little hands the blue checked apron fingered. He saw her lift her eyes. He felt the soft hands light caressing. He heard the murmur of her voice as if a fault confessing. I'm sorry that I spelt the word. I hate to go above you because the brown eyes lower fell. Because, you see, I love you. Still memory to a gray-haired man that sweet child's face is showing. Dear girl, the grasses on her grave have 40 years been growing. He lived to learn in life's hard school how few who go above him regret their triumph and his loss like her because they loved him. Apparently the poet remembered his childhood sweetheart who later became his wife and who died long since. And the day when she was sorry that she outspelled him because she loved him. That is a sample of the kind of repentance that changes lives. Now, I used to think, perhaps you have thought, that repentance is something we do. Well, it is something we do, even though it isn't something we do. And that is a strange way of saying it, because the Bible again and again invites us to repent. John the Baptist preached it, Jesus preached it, the early church preached it, and the last church is told to repent. Like it's something we do. And perhaps there is where we have misunderstood. But as long as we think that repentance is something we do, even though it is something we do, we will have a great deal of confusion and discouragement. What's the point? It is that even though we are the people who repent, repentance is given to us by God. What is repentance? It's sorrow for sin and turning away from it. The twofold definition given in the book Steps to Christ is still the classic definition. Sorrow for sin, turning away from sin. Sometimes they say, sorry enough to quit. And there have been people who have tried to quit, and they couldn't. So they decided they weren't sorry enough. And then they sit around trying hard to make themselves more sorry. There's nothing more striking as you study this subject than to realize that repentance comes from God. Acts 5, verse 31, it says it clearly. Speaking of Jesus, the early church was preaching it. Him, Jesus, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And repentance was also given to the Gentiles, Acts 11. And to all people everywhere, 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26. Repentance is just as much a gift of God as is pardon, which follows. And repentance always precedes pardon. There are some today who have gotten the notion that repentance must not be made a condition for salvation. Well, that's not biblical. The Bible says, the Lord is not willing that any should, what's the word? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you have, obviously, two choices. That's it. Either perish or come to repentance. And that's an interesting way of saying it. Come to repentance. And another way of saying it would be, come to Christ. Because coming to Christ and coming to repentance apparently happened one at the same time. And are almost one and the same thing. Because as we come to Christ, He gives us repentance. It's a gift. It is not something we work up. It is not something we work on. Well, if repentance is necessary in order not to perish, then repentance is necessary for salvation. It's just that simple. But what is repentance? Sorrow for sin and turning away from sin. Then if repentance is necessary for salvation, sorrow for sin and turning away from sin are necessary for salvation. And of course, this has led some people to uncertainty and lack of assurance. And so they want to change their theology to match their experience instead of letting God change their experience to match their theology. Well, if repentance is something that is important for salvation, and if it's something we can't do ourselves, then it's obvious it becomes very important for us to understand that it's a gift from God. And if it's a gift, then we don't have to be uncertain about our salvation. We just simply need to learn more about what it is and how we get it. Romans 2, verse 4 says it. How it comes, it is the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. The goodness of God. The kindness of God. The love of God. The patience of God. The mercy of God. And how could you miss it when you study the life of Christ, the greatest single revelation of God? It is God's love and kindness that lead us there. It was my teacher's kindness. in going down and buying every one of us a worthwhile gift at Christmas time, in taking time to read stories to us and teach us poems, in being as good as she knew how to be as a first-year teacher. It was this that broke my heart when I remembered what I had done to her heart. It was genuine repentance that came from being sorry that you've disappointed someone else. And no one is ever sorry that they've disappointed God or let Jesus down until they know Him as a friend. And when we know Him as a friend, then when we disappoint Him, repentance comes as a natural consequence. Well, that means that turning away from sin is a natural consequence of coming to Jesus. But how many wasted efforts and how much wasted time many of us have spent trying to get sorry and turn away from sin when it isn't our work at all, even though we are the ones who repent. Probably the notable example in Scripture of repentance is the example of Peter. Poor Peter, who was sure that Jesus could count on him. The rest of them might leave you, Lord, but not me. You can count on me. And Jesus warned him, but he was still independent and self-sufficient. And finally, there by the fire, you see him cursing and swearing and saying that he didn't even know the man. Didn't even know Jesus. If you read the picture, seen the picture in the book Desire of Ages, it is a touching scene. Suddenly, in the middle of his oaths and his denial of Jesus, Jesus looks at him. And the look was not one of anger. It was not a look of hurt feelings. But it was a look of sorrow and of pity for his poor disciple. And as Peter and Jesus looked into each other's eyes, suddenly we're told that Peter realized that he had brought the heaviest blow to Jesus that night. Heavier than the crown of thorns or the people who smote him underneath the sack that they'd put over his head. Heavier than those who had jostled him and shoved him around. The denial of his own disciple. And as Peter stood there by the fire, transfixed, looking into the eyes of the one who loved him, a flood of memories came back. He remembered the time long ago when Jesus had called him by the seashore and said, "Follow me." He remembered the time out on the waters in the crashing billows when Jesus had saved him from sinking beneath. He remembered the time in the temple when Peter, as usual, was in trouble over the tax coins, and Jesus came to his rescue. He remembered all the times that Jesus had been so patient and kind. He remembered how that just a little while before, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had said, "Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." And as Peter looked at Jesus right after he had denied ever knowing him, and he saw the pale, suffering face, the quivering lips stained with bloody sweat and convulsed with anguish, Peter tore himself from the scene He rushed out through the courtyard of Caiaphas, down the streets of Jerusalem, to the outer gate, through the gate and down through the valley of the Kidron, and up the other side. And he groped around in the darkness until he found himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he found the place where Jesus had sweat great drops of blood. And we're told that he fell on the ground. And I can see him burying his face in the dirt and wishing that he could die. The Bible says that Peter wept bitterly. And perhaps he wept there for hours because he was experiencing something that is known as godly sorrow. He had brought disappointment to his best friend. But you know the rest of the story. They've written songs about it that are beautiful. How Jesus was anxious on the morning of the resurrection to pay special attention to one who had been weeping his eyes out and to let him know that he was still loved and accepted. Well, we can take courage then today, can't we? That if we know Jesus as our friend, we can experience the same kind of repentance. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. To salvation. Shall we pray? Dear Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for Jesus again and all that he's done for us. We pray that you will give us all the gifts you have to give and teach us better how to come to you for them. Thank you for giving us repentance as well as forgiveness. And we pray that that will be the experience of every heart here this morning unto salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.